B-Pod Studios.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour. Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5thesportshub.com.
It's funny you mentioned Town Fair Tire. It's getting to that point where people are really like starting to talk about, hey, we got to get them winter tires on.
I told you. I mentioned
other day. That's right. You did,
yeah,
too.
They're there. They came in. I have to go get them.
You need that. You need that old uncle or that old dad around saying, make sure you get your oil change. Hardy, do your old man voice. Get your oil change and get your winter tires put on. And get your chains for the tires.
I need more. Where is it taking place? Who's telling you?
My dad would always tell me, the inspection stickers. Is it expired? I'd let it go for like 4 months.
Let's just say it's 1950 and the American Automobile Association recommends you get, quarterly oil changes.
3,000 miles.
And make sure you put your chains on your tires for the wintertime. Something like that. But Hardy does the old-timey voice.
Yeah. He's not in a mood to do that today.
No.
Yeah. It's one of those days, man. Everybody has their day,
I've never had the winter tires. I'm about to experience it.
I never have gotten winter tires. Ever. Tell you what. Try driving a Corvette in a snowstorm.
But I had them on my 77 Nova. It was the only car I ever had snow tires on.
And?
What's a snow tire
How'd
do?
How'd it go?
They're fine. I mean, it's a rear-wheel drive. Had to have something,
Well, I've got, sort of street racing tires on
that's,
the truck
that's the
now.
Problem.
Oh, you got street racers
on
they're
there? Just, really sporty tires. They're not great for snow.
Low profile.
Yeah, very low profile. They have larger wheels, smaller tires.
Honest to God, true story, I had to come back for a card show at...
got the 22s. They're big wheels.
At Filene's. Filene's base... Not Filene's base. It was Filene's downtown crossing. And I had to come back for a car show. I flew in, and the only car I had was a Corvette at the time. It was a snowstorm. And I'm going down 495, right in the middle lane, and the car just starts spinning around. And I'm just doing circles.
Oh.
Spinning. And I'm, pumping the brakes, and I'm, spinning, whoa, nobody's hitting me. I thought I was going to. And I just stayed in the middle of the road, and it started straight, and then it just kept going straight. And I'm like, oh, my God. I will never drive.
Your goal at that point is just to try not.
I panicked and took the car.
Side to the road, really, at that point, right?
There was no Uber at that time. No. Yeah, I was late.
There's no cell phones, anything like that. I was driving back from my girlfriend's dorm up there at the General Motors Institute, Flint, Michigan. Snowy night, I-75 south, a little sleepy. May have dozed for a moment. Got a little too close to the shoulder where the snow is just packed. There's no plows going back and forth between, Detroit and Flint. No, you just drive on the snow. You figure it out. Next thing I know, I was doing that slow spin. As Zoe's talking about it, 60 miles an hour.
Just and it just spins. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Yeah, that's I don't know how this is going to end. Probably not great.
You came out of it then.
Came out of it.
See? Just stay steady. Don't pump the brakes. Pretty much. Carrie Underwood, take the wheel, Jesus, in your hands now. Should I go to church? Gotta go to church. Yep.
Danny and Quincy on the line. Danny.
Well, before I get to McDaniel's answer, the caller two calls ago when he mentioned Antonio Brown. Caller, we had Antonio Brown. Belichick went out and got him. Brady was going to be his landlord and his babysitter. And Kraft, at the behest of the media, cut him. That's a fact. So please don't tell me about Antonio Brown. That could have been our last hurrah if they had kept him. So, okay, I didn't even call for
that. Not telling you about him. I mean, they wanted him.
What's that?
They wanted him. He was in the game plan in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, okay. I
know about all that stuff. He was in. Right. He was getting the ball.
But the caller was seeing me, Belichick. Don't blame Belichick for that one. That was on the
Oh, no. Did you hear Bill? Did you hear Bill when they played Tampa a couple weeks ago? He goes, oh, it's a cascade.
Anyways, that was a sidebar. But McDaniels, I noticed he didn't say yes to the question. He said sure. Okay? So, and if you believe, like I did, that the only way they were going to win that game was to win the toss and over to win the coin toss in the overtime, then you had to go for it, not only before the end of the first half, because you try to score in every possession. That is why you defer when you win the opening call. You had to go for it on the 50-yard line in OT. Because what Belichick did by not going for it on the 50-yard line in OT was he went out and grabbed the coin, and he turned it over and gave it back to Dallas. You've got to go for it. You cannot waste possessions. And as far as the defense goes, Belichick, I'm looking at him. The only game he was totally vested was the Tampa Bay game. He is in delegation mode right now, which means I think he's going to hand it off. When you allow offenses, when you play zone, when you don't pass rush, when you don't get your hands up to knock a pass down, that has got Matt Patricia's stench all over it, because that's what he is. He's a chunk yardage give-up guy between the 20s and try to make a play down in the red zone. They don't have the talent to do that anymore. He's got Matt Patricia is a poison on defense. Belichick is gone after this year as hard as an Intuit. He's just trying to pass the baton. Josh McDaniels is a fraud for saying sure and not yes. He wouldn't answer the question.
Okay.
That was a lot there.
What if if McDaniels is just saying, yeah, sure, whatever he says goes, in sort of a, I want to hear the audio, I want to hear the tone. As soon as you see that come across, T-Bone, like, sure, yeah, whatever he says.
I bet we won't be able to pick anything out of it.
Like, he's sort of dejected by it. Like, this guy is just saying what he wants to say, and I don't get a say. Yeah, sure, whatever coach says goes. That's why we're 2-4. Passive? Is he being passive? Is he delegating more?
The stink of Matt Patricia.
Is he not as invested as he should be? He's right, though.
What is he in control of? Like, I go back to the Cam stuff that he said on that Funky Friday, right? Like, I walk in, it's Bill and Matt. I walk in the room, it's Bill and Matt there. What's the power? You know, is he still super? Is he overseeing the defense with Mayo and Steve? I don't know. Well, I mean, Gerard played for him. Forget that. So you have that. There's that natural built-in respect thing that guy's my coach, that's my superior. You know, I had to answer to him. So I just wonder what's Mayo's input. You know,
and has it gone down?
Because look at them last year. Like they were competitive and get like that design that they put out against the Chiefs was pretty impressive. He didn't have Gilmore that game, right? It was Gilmore and Cam were out with COVID. So, and then he had to hurry up and get on a plane and play it the next day. Like, he pushed that game off. That was a tough spot. And I thought they competed hard defensively. Like, defense wasn't that bad a year ago. And they didn't have bodies. They didn't have bodies like they have now. They got a ton of bodies. They got a lot of bodies in the front seven. Problem is, I think they lack some corner depth. Yeah, another guy wore 24 last year, you know, and he got hurt that Miami game, and that was it. So, stuck with what you have now.
Patriots and game 4 of the ALCS tonight between the Red Sox and Astros at Fenway Park. Will tonight end the Astros if the Red Sox win? Do they have any shot at coming back if the Red Sox win tonight? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
In Boston, you talk to these guys.
I'm just gonna say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Today was the closest we've been to a perfect game, to be honest with you. We pitched well, played great defense, we ran the bases. We were very aggressive in a lot of aspects, you know. So tonight is one of those that you feel good about it, but at the same time, like we always do, we turn the page, we'll be ready for tomorrow.
Huge game tonight for the Red Sox because I think they can bury the Astros and kill them tonight and end it.
Yeah.
I do.
Give you no hope.
And would you rather have tonight 38-year-old Zach Greinke, who's a bit of a head case, in case you haven't noticed, in his now lengthy MLB career.
I can't get John Heyman out of my head when it's Zach Greinke. Like, oh, you talk about Zach Greinke.
Well, is Greinke a Boris guy?
We used to do the Heyman interview all the time.
That's why. And anyone who's a Boris guy, Heyman wants to talk about.
Greinke.
Why was he talking about him?
Just there was this guy all the time. Remember that T-Bone? Remember the little Zank Greinke thing with the Heyman?
Fake laughing. Block those days out.
Oh, God, try to. Was that one of the John Feinstein book thing? Like, hi, I'm John Sam Feinstein, CBS Sportsman.
Or would you rather have tonight Nick Pivetta, who pitched in two games in the series against the Rays and pitched well in that series? He did. He gave the Red Sox two very important outings in that series.
Series shifter.
I mean,
series shifting.
Love having Evaldi at home. And I just
Nick Pivetta.
Pivetta, that home crowd tonight, electric again. It's not going to be like, oh, there's a dip. No, it's going to be place going to be amped up.
And now he was much better. Here's the good news on Pivetta. He was much better in the game when he pitched in game three than when he pitched in game one of the ALDS. Now, remember when he came in game one, he was basically dealing with a bleep show there. Okay, he was coming in to eat up innings, which he did a great job of, and then pitched very important innings for scoreless innings in game three. He's coming off the high of that. Would you rather have him going or the guy who has not started in a month and has barely pitched over the course of the last month? 3 1/3 is what he's pitched total going back to September 19th. The Red Sox have the pitching advantage tonight again. And
again,
the Astros bullpen is on fumes.
And they get nobody. They get nobody for tomorrow.
And I think if the Red Sox go up 3-1 in this series tonight and using this advantage to their, you know, to go and take a 3-1 lead, I just think it's, I don't envision how the Astros come back from that.
Right.
I don't know how they do.
That's why you have that, you know, 78% chance of winning, you know, the whole damn thing when, you know, you win that game three. If you have the ability to go on a road and do that split, get it back home for three, that's why it just electric environment. Fenway, all that stuff. Massive favorite tonight. Red Sox.
Also,
the massive favorite tonight. And it's going to be colder.
Also want to see how the Astros respond to everything in this series. Being down 2-1, getting their ass kicked last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And making some mental errors in errors, period, along the way. And how do they respond to that? How do they respond to being on the road, now trailing in the series, knowing the history of the teams that trail 2-1, in the ALCS after being split 1-1, knowing that odds are against them in the comeback, knowing that they've got this crowd to deal with again tonight, knowing that the Red Sox are going to feed off that crowd. As you said, the weather only gets worse tonight, doesn't get better. What do you got? Are you mentally tough, or are you going to take what happened last night, which, in, I'm sorry, you can't really debate it. That had to have been just mentally defeating last night to suffer that loss. What a blow.
Heads were down early.
That was an ass kicking. So how do they bounce back? Do they bounce back? Do they have the grit and balls? They've been to the ALCS 5 straight years. You don't get there because you don't have some mental toughness. So the question is, do they have it in this particular series? Are they capable of putting it back together and trying to find a way?
Yeah, could Dusty Baker pull one out? Can you micromanage this thing somehow tonight?
How long was Dusty going to leave a starter in the game last night, by the way?
I mean, once the Grand Slam was like, you're done. That was 6-0. It's over. It was over. I never thought they had a chance. I never thought, oh, they're going to outslug him. Just didn't feel like it. You could tell they had no motion.
You weren't at all nervous?
No, they were dead flat. Because I thought Erod had it last night. Okay, this guy's going to be all right. Yeah.
You just never know.
Tonight, though, you could be a little bit nervous because I know it's cranky, but 38, history. I'm thinking of Kevin Costner movie. Billy Chappell. Can he just dial one up tonight? Like, that's what has to happen for Houston to freaking get back in this series. He's got to be Billy Chappell tonight. Not throw a perfect game, but can you muster something up with your veteran experience? And what's going to be, what, a 7-degree colder game from last night? I think tomorrow's going to be nice, 73, 74, but tonight's chilly. Ooh, light a fire. Watch this one.
Maybe make yourself an espresso. So
you can do that. I don't want to be up all.
Maybe
no.
Do that.
No.
Jeff in New Hampshire. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hey. I was calling because I'm just a fan, but I'm watching and hearing about all these uncharacteristic things that Patriots are doing. And, you know, Bill, who invented the hairpin turn, you know, taking a knee with a minute 30. You know, not going for for fourth and one and settling for field goals when they could be getting touchdowns and taking the lead. Basically, not playing to win. So uncharacteristic of Bill and the team. So I'm just wondering, is anyone talking about the possibility that Bill is secretly keeping points off the board because he doesn't mind the Patriots not basically finishing strong so they can get better draft picks next year, knowing that this team is as it is, really not going to win?
Yes, Jeff. Yes. Once again, it's all part of the master plan. The 2-4 record and the decision making in games leading up to the 2-4 record has all been part of the master plan to get better draft picks. It's part of the rebuild. It's part of Bill's rebuild, guys.
It's hard to see sometimes from this far out, but it's plain as day.
But I mean, it's funny. I mean, like we talked about CeeDee Lamb. He went at what, 17 to the Cowboys? You got to be in a top 15 area to have good picks to really hit. Vince Wilfork was top 15. We know where Mayo landed. They moved around. Look at the maneuvering they did to get Jones and Hightower that year. And you got Mac Jones this year at 15. That's a pretty damn good pick.
That's just not some years that doesn't apply. It didn't apply in the year they drafted N'Keal Harry. There were a boatload of great receivers on the board when they took him.
Sure. But you also hit it 30-32. Like, you got McCourty and Mankins in that area. Solder was what, 23 or 18, somewhere in that area? Yeah, somewhere in there.
Jeff in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
What's going on, boys?
How you doing?
I have a thing for you guys on John Gruden and the Raiders, if you'll let me get to it at the end. But Bill the coach, great coach, but definitively not the greatest coach of all time. And he's temporarily masking his own ineptitude at the GM position, his terrible drafting, gross cap mismanagement, nepotism in his skeleton coaching staff, and the distribution of perhaps resources allocated for the coaching staff. I just figured that the cuts about Bill's head, breast, chest, nose, and mouth were because RKK pimp slapped Bill after their effort in Houston, but I never heard anything otherwise. On the fourth down situation, though, as the previous caller said, he's not playing to win. In fact, he's playing not to lose. And Hardy, I would use a golf analogy this way. It's like Bill is on 18T needing a par for a 78 or at worst a bogey for a 79, then promptly yanking the drive out of bounds and taking a double for an 81. You defeat yourself and you really never gave yourself a chance. And Zoe, maybe you can answer, but when is Bill going to figure out that negative motivation or negative reinforcement doesn't really work too well anymore? And then the John Gruden thing, guys. I was relieved to hear that the NFL has cleared everyone else in the 650,000 email audit, and only the Raiders, in a forensic investigation into the toxic workplace of the team formerly known as the Redskins, the Raiders head coach gets fired.
Yeah, it's weird. We uncovered 650,000 emails. The only bad ones were the guy that we're at odds with in a lawsuit right now, that would be Bruce Allen,
yeah,
who formerly was in charge of football matters for the team. And, oh, yeah, the head coach of the Raiders, who was at the time working at ESPN and is now the head coach of the Raiders. And he had some weird emails. That's it. That's all we had. And,
it's amazing.
Oh, and by the way, his brother is a former head coach of ours who we got rid of because he was a clown.
I guess it was one of the strangest weekends down there for the Washington football team. This whole Sean Taylor thing, have you been following this, like how poorly they handled this ceremony?
I did see they had to apologize to their fans. That's never a good thing.
Dan Snyder showed up with like a beard and like a hoodie on, and like to go talk to Taylor's family on the sideline. They had a little area on the side, and it was just, the whole thing was awkward. They didn't send out the proper invites. They didn't get in touch with all the ex-teammates, the Miami Hurricanes that played with this guy, the people that wanted to, heard about it like late on Thursday of last week. Like, wait a minute, Your Honor, Taylor, we didn't know. Guys that played with him there, history, multiple years. And I guess it was Jackson Mahomes that was doing his little TikTok thing in the area. But people were ripping him for dancing on Sean Taylor's 21. But like the part where they had...
Oh, the
marked
part
off
where the 21
fans?
Was where people were supposed to be standing.
They made you stand on
How
his number.
How stupid is
Why
that?
Wouldn't,
I'm looking at
anybody
it now.
With any planning experience would take the 21, put it out on the 30 or like on the side of the 20 down towards the field. Like you put stadium logos there. You roped off a course where, hey, we're going to put what we're allowed to have on a sideline for COVID protocols to have them stand on Sean Taylor's 21 and let everybody get ripped for standing on it.
These are the bullet points. The road named after him was rededicated in front of a row of porta potties. It is. It's a picture of his family in front of the sign, Sean Taylor Road, and there are at least five porta potties directly behind them. The sideline number tribute was in the area where the VIPs are roped off to stand, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
The halftime ceremony involved no speeches or recognition, and the owner met with the family pregame, and there's a picture of them in the pregame meeting. He's dressed wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Not exactly dressed.
Looks like they found him outside in line with a ticket trying to get in.
Yeah. That's from Chad Ryan on Twitter, who covers Washington football team.
Thanks, Sean.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
And he has pictures of all of it. Oh. They probably should have planned that a little better.
This isn't from like media ripping them. Like the guys that played with the guy ripped them. Like this is.
Not a
this guy meant everything to us.
Proper Plenty tribute.
Of, right, not a proper tribute.
Brutal.
Say what you want about everything around here, but the teams around here, when they do it right.
Yeah, sometimes they go overboard. They try to do it so
but
right.
But the planning, it's like over-the-top planning. I'd take that as far as
absolutely.
Let's slide something under the rug here. Yeah, let's get it in. Squeeze Sean Taylor Day in for this weekend. Thank you. Yeah, we'll start planning on Wednesday.
Yeah. Hardy has headlines. We're back with your calls on both the Patriots and the Red Sox, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, coming up tomorrow right here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've got two pairs of Patriots tickets for this weekend. We're giving them away tomorrow, 11:30 and 1:30 tomorrow. Two pairs. That makes you think now, doesn't it?
That really, it's got my it's got my gears grinding.
And it's not
over
the
here.
Patriots tickets I'm referring to.
There was
Zoe's in the bathroom apparently screaming. This is something you would have probably happened in your house. But it happened here at the office.
If you have young children.
Yeah, if you have kids, they yell for toilet paper. Zoe's apparently in the bathroom screaming for someone to bring him toilet paper.
Which I assume did not happen.
Correct.
So he then comes into the studio and starts wiping his hands with a Clorox wipe.
Which just has us thinking things.
I'm good. I George Brett it. We got hot towels in there. We're good.
Hot towels?
Hot, wet towel. Give me a hot, wet towel.
There are hot, wet towels in the bathroom.
I ended up fixing the problem. It's fine.
How'd you fix it?
I went next door.
Next door where?
Star Market?
I had to get up. Never mind. I don't want to get... We're on the radio. I'm going to give details about this.
You know? This is what we're talking about.
Get up.
Did you have to go to the ladies' room?
No, I went to the next stall.
Oh, the next stall. When you said next door, I'm like, the next room over is... Did you go into the ladies' room and scream through their door to someone bring you toilet paper?
I was in there. I was literally...
Hey, baby!
Hi!
I think that's an acceptable solution.
Seriously, how you doing?
No, but seriously. it's okay. How you doing?
The
roll is completely loaded. Like, there's four rolls. It's a quad roll. And there's four
quad
rolls in there. You can't... It's so packed in there, you couldn't
wait,
get
what was so packed in there?
The toilet paper.
Got it.
And you couldn't get the ply sheets down.
Impact.
I'm trying to rip it down. I couldn't get it down. Like, somebody refilled them.
Sounds like you need more roughage.
No. That's not the issue.
Need a little more fiber in your diet. Okay, so you went to the next stall. That seems acceptable.
I didn't want somebody to walk in, though, when I'm walking over, though.
Oh, so you just...
He was loathing.
Or walking around with your pants at your ankles in there.
Pretty much. Like grandpa, yeah.
Again, that would...
Hunter Henry.
That we could file under something, no big deal.
That's why I was
yelling.
It's
not anything I haven't seen before. Right. Specifically to you.
Right.
Well, the George Costanza, take the shirt off too.
All the way off.
Rubbing his eyes.
Completely. That is weird, wild stuff.
Is he getting it all figured out?
We're good.
Okay. All right. I'm glad. Fred on the Cape was at that Washington football game where they did the tribute. Hey, Fred.
Hey.
What's up?
I just wanted to... That's the most dysfunctional stadium. The fans, when I was coming in...
It's the worst.
The worst. I've been to eight NFL stadiums. They were saying we're going to lose 7-0. They're all telling me how bad they're going to lose. They've been there for 10, 20 years. And then, the Sean Taylor... I mean, I didn't even notice it because it just was done so poorly. They were trotting people off and on the state, on the stands. But I thank God I'm a Boston fan. You're
lucky.
Go there, talk to those people. You'll appreciate being a Boston guy.
I've done a lot of games down here at FedEx Field.
Thanks, Fred.
It's a bitch to get to. It's really in Northern Virginia. So, I mean, it's not like downtown D.C. It's not where RFK was. RFK was a great location downtown D.C. Like, you could see all the monuments from it, and it's just quintessential Washington, D.C. There's not one game that I've done down there where the field has not been an issue, meaning they, like, compacted dirt down, patched it with sod in certain spots. They allowed colleges to play there, Navy the day before, in the rain. And it was, by the end of warmups, everybody's feet were green. Because they spray painted dirt green to make it look like grass. Patriots are horrified. Like, some of the playing conditions down there. Needless to say, food's terrible there. Well, broadcast location, we're in the end zone.
Yeah.
It's just, oh man, you should have heard Gil down there.
Woo! Gil don't like it is. I don't understand this for one second. I want names.
Gil demanded names. Like, he was going to read the riot act to somebody.
Yeah, as far as ceremonies go, though, we
correct.
Do them to a very high degree around here.
I mean, even Beatle, look at the pictures. They have
typically a symphony involved.
They have this cheap white chain.
The orchestra
chain.
Comes down from Symphony Hall, where they typically play their concerts. And they head right down.
Hall.
They go from Symphony Hall, which is nearby. They go right down the street to Fenway, and they they do it right.
Yeah, they'll bring in duck boats. They'll have people wave. They'll throw things. They'll sell stuff for it. Yeah. Patriots do a great job, too, bringing everybody back.
All right. A random question about RFK.
Yeah.
How is it that RFK has not been torn down and they build another stadium right there in that spot? How has that not happened?
I have no clue, because I remember being at the top of the W. We're next to you could look down into the top of the White House. You see all the guys and the SWAT teams up top. And then you look past the Washington Monument, and you look down the distance like, holy crap, that's RFK still up. I didn't know it was still there.
It was still there. The Nationals played there for a bit before they built their stadium.
That
while they were building their stadium.
That thing's one of those circular dumps. meaning like they had that in Cleveland. They had it in Pittsburgh. Three River Stadium was like that. It's built the circle. It's an odd stadium.
Nationals,
it's like all cement.
Nationals played their 05-07.
I played a couple games at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. That was cool. But that's like an old horseshoe, you know? And I just remember, you know, you walk underneath, you could feel the water from the pipes dripping down. You came out of the dugout to go there. But, like, we played Penn State there. We played Miami there. We played Clemson there.
Yep. Last NFL game was 96. The last time they played a college game there was 2012.
Wow, that's our, what's that, Army-Navy?
No, they played, they had this thing called the Military Bowl, which was, they were just the sponsor, but it was San Jose State defeating Bowling Green 29-20 in the 2012 Military Bowl. I think it's got soccer there now, though. Yeah, they do play Gold Cup friendlies there, 2019. El Salvador played Haiti. They had soccer there as late as 2019. Men's national team has played there. Yeah, so there's been stuff there, but
yeah.
That just feels like it would be a great spot to tear that thing down and build a brand new facility in the same place.
That's where you want it.
On the same footprint.
And then you just see, there's D.C. right next to you. Yeah, the perfect spot for it.
Feels like you could, I don't know what the mass transit situation is there around that stadium, but I imagine with it being in the city.
It's really mad, I mean, it's eight,
they'll figure it out.
It's 8 Sundays a year, man. You know, I hear all this bitching and complaining about the new stadium, like, 8-9 Sundays a year, 10, 12 with preseason, whatever. That's it. Saturday or Sunday, you know.
Do you think it would be nice if over in the Seaport right now there were a football stadium?
Man. Would you imagine that game day? Like the ability to have all those bars, restaurants, foot traffic? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, but could you imagine getting it in?
No, I know. That would be, that's the issue. Where would you park?
No.
Yeah. Parking's an issue now there to begin with.
Yeah. How could you possibly get in or out?
You'd have to build new infrastructure to do that. Roads and that. Yeah.
Yeah. Build new highways.
Because you really couldn't go down to the Barking Crab and just direct all traffic across that single lane bridge.
You'd have to take a boat. You'd have to.
Ferry service.
You'd have to.
Get the Spirit of Boston fired up.
Yeah, run it back and forth 400 times.
Quincy Ferry. Park everybody in Marina Bay. Bring the ferry over. Send the Island Queen. It's not doing anything right now, you know? Well, I guess it still runs, right? Yeah.
I don't
ferry service. Yeah, you still got to get on and off the damn thing. Yeah, it's dull.
I don't think that's what's going to save it, though.
Right.
Hey, Fenway can exist.
Yeah.
Fenway's in the city.
Everyone's but not the Seaport.
Yeah, but you got to understand, the whole layout of it would be completely different had they gone through with that. There was nothing there when they were talking about it. That was wasteland over there. Nobody wanted to build anything over there.
Parking lots.
It was nothing.
What was the other area? Over by BU, too, right? The tracks over by BU?
I don't recall that.
Between there and, like, the Celtics facility and all that, like, halfway in between BU and there? I thought that area was looked at, too.
I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't recall that one. Yeah. We'll get to today's takeaways coming up next and wrap things up here on Zolak and Bertrand. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, who invites you to learn how easy losing weight really can be. Proven weight loss started your very first week with the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox, who play tonight, 7:30, first pitch. I think it's 7:30.
8:08 again.
8:08? Damn. I thought they said 7:30 on a screen last night.
Coverage.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You want to see Poppy count his money?
No.
They ever find his shooter? By the way,
well, there was the blue ribbon panel was commissioned.
The last suspect, I think, got killed recently. Yep.
Where's Ed Harris?
Convenient.
Is it Ed Harris? Is that his name? Police chief? Former police chief?
Ed Harris is an actor.
Right.
Ed Davis is what you're thinking.
Ed Davis, who is no longer on the investigation.
Yep.
So it remains an unsolved crime, I guess. But anyway, I'm sorry to bring that up. Let's get to this.
What?
This is Zoe talking about last night's Red Sox game and one of the small side items of the night, and that would be, what the hell was Alex Cora drinking there in that dugout?
Like, what are you doing? No. And what the hell was he drinking out of that little mini cup that he had?
I thought it was an espresso. Good for him.
Well, here's my question. And you've been to games at multiple, you know, venues, sport venues. Who the hell has those little mini espresso cups available? It looked like one of those little mini.
If you make millions of dollars, you can get.
Don't
you
dare tell me that it's water. Like it's a Dixie cup, one of those little mini ones you get at like the dentist.
Dare tell him that.
Here, wash your mouth out.
One of those little cone cups.
Yeah, cone cup. It was tequila shot. Who knows? You know, it's pretending to blow on it like it's hot. It's not really hot. It's cold.
You know they have stuff in the clubhouse that's not available to the general concession seeking folk.
That also went on for like two more minutes. I'm so talking about espresso.
It's just odd, like the mini cup.
We had to edit.
It's not that odd.
It's like some of the dentists.
I bet you have the means to acquire those right now if you want them.
If you
rinse,
repeat.
If you go to one of those like little espresso stands there in the mall, you get an espresso, they give you a little mini cup. Well, they even have the little mini disposables.
You have one at home. You should know this.
Right. Yeah, but we don't have disposable. Right.
Two pairs of Patriots tickets and Burt Breer tomorrow.
Nice.
Beginning at 11. Don't miss it. Pilgrim Maz are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
3-1 pitch. The play is made by Leonard. Hard hit, but right at the Red Sox second baseman. 5.5 in the book. 6 strong by Eduardo Rodriguez. Here is that exchange. After getting Carlos Correa, who was pointing at his watch in game one when he hit that go-ahead home run in the seventh, saying, it's my time. Look at Alex Cora with Eduardo Rodriguez. Yeah, he's going to tell him right here, great job, but no need to do anything like that. A lot of this series, you don't need to poke anybody, even if... You know, the other side's doing it. I thought it was great for Alex to tell him what a great job he did, but we don't want to do that.
Don't do that.
And why?
Because we don't act that way. You know, we just show up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.